BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, President Biden is being urged, he's being prodded, he's being pushed to declare a climate emergency. Al Gore, in an interview with Chuck Todd on Meet the Press, said in regard to climate change that the public sentiment is changing, but that democracy is broken, calling for the filibuster to be eliminated, indicating we have big money playing much too large a role in our politics. Maybe he had a look in his own wallet what's happened since he's left the White House. Al Gore is not alone. CNSNews.com is reporting that the special presidential envoy for climate, John Kerry, also expressed regret that opposition in Congress has stymied climate legislation. He told the BBC, quote, "We are moving forward, but we're not making enough progress, and we're not moving forward fast enough. So we are behind where we need to be to avoid the worst consequences of the climate crisis." He points to the summer heat waves and to the wildfires, to the drought. Others in the Biden administration are talking about us being in an energy transition. A climate alarmism group is planning to shut down city streets in Washington, D.C. in an effort to put pressure upon Joe Biden to declare a climate emergency. So while the Biden administration has taken certain steps, it's not declared a climate emergency. However, the president has indicated that climate change is literally an existential threat to our nation and to the world. With comments on these and related issues, we welcome back Tom DeWeese, president of American Policy Center, one of the nation's leading advocates of individual liberty, free enterprise, private property rights, a personal privacy, back-to-basics education, and American sovereignty and independence, and protecting our constitutionally guaranteed rights. He is author of Sustainable, The War on Free Enterprise, Private Property, and Individuals, and the political novel Erased. Tom, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
My pleasure, Jim. Always is.
Well, before we talk about some of these recent presidential actions and what's going on there, you just returned from Iowa, Tom. Tell us about your trip.
Yes, I spent a week. I spoke in five cities in 5 days, and each of those cities are on the path of what I have called the dumbest plan I have ever heard environmentalists put together, yet it's one of the most dangerous. They are working to install a carbon capture pipeline, and the idea is to take CO2 out of the air and put it into this pipeline and put it down in the ground and bury it there. And the incredible thing is it's five different states. It's Iowa and North and South Dakota and Minnesota, Nebraska. These states are prime farmland to feed us, and this thing's 1,300-mile pipeline that is going to go right across farms, and they're to put it in place, they're going to take off the topsoil, they're going to, in just hundreds of acres of land that is going to be taken out of production for farming for this pipeline, which is totally ridiculous because it is totally unneeded, first of all, and now we're finding out that there is a carbon shortage. There are reports coming out of this now that plants need this to grow, and taking it out of the air and putting it down in the ground does absolutely nothing but destroy farmland.
Don, you've heard that phrase of shooting yourself in the foot. What a classic example.
It is. It is. And one of the activists I was working with there went to one of these public meetings. There are two different companies, private companies, that are pushing this. And they are holding these public meetings to get people behind what they're doing. And she literally riddled them with questions about the truth. Why are you doing this? Why is this necessary? And so forth. They were starting to hem and haw and finally answered the question by saying, well, there was money for it in the Biden infrastructure bill, oh, there you go. That's why we're doing this.
Wow. Well, so the insanity of this is, what is the status of it now, Tom?
Well, it's still in the works to be done. They have not taken any property yet, although they are going on certain people's farms who are in the path of it and starting to put wooden stakes out to stake out where it's going to go. I was on a Zoom call, and one of the farmers that happened to told me that this is what they had done. And I said, they came on your private property without your permission and started staking it out. He said, yes. And I said, tear up the stakes. It's your property. And he did. And I joked, I was speaking, I was telling people this. I said, he's still free. Not there. But this, there are these two companies that are doing this. One is called Summit Carbon Solutions, and the other is Navigator CO2 Ventures. These are the two companies, private companies. They are sending a letter to farmers and other property owners that are in the path of this thing, explaining what they're going to do and all that. And then they have a line at the end of the letter that says that their goal is to reach voluntary agreements with the landowners along the project route. Though, if we are unable to do so, we may need to request the right of eminent domain.
Oh, my.
And this is from the Iowa Utilities Board. Now, these are private companies. They are not public utilities. And the Iowa Utilities Board is playing this game. Here's the real game that's going on there. There are three members of this Iowa Utilities Board. Two of them were appointed by former governor of Iowa, Branstad. Branstad is now working with these two companies to get this thing in place. So what do you think the Iowa Utilities Board is going to do when it finally comes down to the choice? Do you really think they're actually listening to the people? Almost every single county in Iowa has sent letters to the Iowa Utilities Board, pleading with them not to refrain from using eminent domain in doing this. Now, what I was doing, speaking there, I was appealing to county supervisors in every single county. Almost every county's written such letters opposing this. They're hearing from their people, don't do this. And I said, you need to, first of all, in your county, pass legislation that protects the property of your citizens from this eminent domain, from taking this, that these are private companies. They don't have a right to do that at all. And you are the people elected, not some appointed board. You were elected by the people, and you've got to pass this legislation to protect their property, and now you need to join hands as you do that with all the other counties and make an impenetrable wall that they can't get through. That was my message as I was speaking.
Are you optimistic, Tom, that they're going to do that?
Well, something interesting did happen. We just got this report the other day. In two counties in South Dakota, Brown County and Spink County, they have passed moratoriums on the pipeline.
Mm.
It's a temporary solution, but it's there. And if these counties and the ones in Iowa and all across these five states would do this, this could be stopped. And I honestly believe we can stop it. There's massive opposition in these all across the states. But these guys are playing this game about having, these public meetings, and we really care what the people think. No, they don't. And that what they're doing is they're trying to get them to sign easements that will say, yeah, you can use my property voluntarily, and they're offering them money. And I noticed as we were going across the state, people began to come to the meetings and reveal that they were upping the money. I believe that was in response to what I was doing there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to make it so they can't possibly turn it down with, getting massive amounts of money to do this.
Yeah.
But the opposition's there. I think we can stop it.
Well, folks, keep abreast. And Tom's website, AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. We've got a lot we're going to unfold here, but Tom, we were just talking about the land, and I just am looking at the July 13th through 19th of the Epoch Times, and they report multiple foreign countries and investment groups have been quietly acquiring land designated for agriculture in the United States over the past decade. Foreign interests presently control 37.6 million acres of pasture, timber, and farmland. They said that this amounts that this land amounts to about the size of, I think it's Illinois and also like Indiana, something of that nature, just a huge amount of land that foreign investors are purchasing right from underneath us.
Yeah, China is one of the leading ones doing that, of course. And I'll tell you what, we also got a report from North Dakota that China is grabbing control of a good part of the American food supply. They're in North Dakota. They are working to build a massive corn processing plant there. Now, this goes along with some of the stuff in these pipelines and everything. They are grabbing up land and taking it out of production. You have Bill Gates, who now has bought up more farmland than anybody else in this country, and he's a huge promoter of synthetic beef and that sort of thing. This plant the Chinese are looking at, the other things that Gates is looking at, these other countries are looking at, is taking all this land out of production. There's a major assault on the cattle industry that's taking place, and these radical environmentalists have been pushing this. And the idea is that every community will grow the food it needs right in there, basically by hydroponics. And I've seen photographs of high rises in some of these foreign countries where they're on their balconies. They think that people can grow their own food right there on their own balcony. You know, it's all synthetic, no beef. Everything's made with plants and so forth. And this is a major move all across the country. BlackRock is another one that is the biggest investor in the world that is buying up land not only in the farm areas but also in the cities. And they're buying up blocks of areas in the cities to enforce the smart growth, sustainable development policies where you won't have any cars and it's only public transportation. They control your energy use, on and on and on. It's all interconnected to have control. The Great Reset is, kind of the blueprint for it all.
Well, let me just make a correction to what I said earlier. I said about the size of Illinois and Indiana. The proper states would be Illinois and Iowa. The combined size there as far as what they're purchasing. But, Tom, they point out to Russia, Iran, China, Mexico, all listed as owners. And it really is beware because the price may look very attractive to begin with, but it's going to be to our own detriment.
Yeah, and like I said, they're trying to promote all this by offering big amounts of money. And then the other thing that just came out in the last week was that the EPA said if these states don't build this carbon capture pipeline, then they are going to ban ethanol plants in those states.
Wow.
And, of course, this is all the attack on gasoline and all that, but see, that was a direct financial attack on the corn states.
Friends, we've got so much more information to share with you here on Crosstalk today. We're going to be talking about this climate emergency push that's going on, actions from the president, and we'll be talking about electric vehicles and many other issues here today. Don't go away. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, was ancient man primitive?
Chris, in no sense was ancient man primitive. Man was created in the image of God with a large brain and great intellect, able at the very least to communicate with God in the Garden of Eden. Even in the early chapters of Genesis, man had agriculture, had metal workings, and he made musical instruments. Those civilizations of man that sprung up right after the flood were likewise quite intelligent. Think about it. Even the pyramids speak of an intelligent engineering ability of high quality, an ability which may have been lost up until recent times. There is no scientific evidence that man rose up from the animals. This is an evolutionary story which doesn't fit the facts. Mankind created intelligent at the start. Now that fits the facts, and that's the Back to Genesis truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Tom DeWeese is with us today. He is president of American Policy Center. And Tom, we've got a lot to unpack here today. But before we get to some more information, you have available through your website a way for our listeners to stay informed, to receive updates on so many of these issues, whether it be private property related issues or individual liberty, the whole aspect of American sovereignty and independence, protecting our lands and so forth. People can actually get an update on a near weekly basis from you on these issues.
Yeah, they can. If they would just go into our website at AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org, and there's just a place there you can sign up with your email address, and we send out our updates as we go along, different things we've done. We've won some victories, and that's always exciting to put out. Mm-hmm. We put those out, and we tell the dangers and what's going to affect you. And we've also got on there about a 20-year archive of articles that we've written over the years on all these issues. So if you want some background, it's there too.
AmericanPolicy.org. You'll see a big box there. Stay informed. You put your email address in and just your first name, and you're off and being informed. Tom, we were all watching what action President Biden was going to take recently in pertaining to the climate. John Kerry indicated in regard to the effects of climate change, quote, Mother Nature's doing that job very, very effectively, evidently referring to the heat wave and wildfires. Give us your perspective. Are we in a climate emergency? I mean, the president quoted some scientists with the UN who said this is code red for humanity, saying our nation, our national security is at stake. What's your perspective?
It's July. It gets hot in July. It always has gotten hot in July. There is absolutely no verifiable scientific evidence whatsoever that man has done anything to create climate change. That code red coming out of the UN came when they discovered that, I think it was a country in Africa or somewhere down there, that had their climate warm by 1 degree. Climate change is the greatest hoax of all time on human beings. And I've said this many, many times. When people in the past wanted to control the world, what they would do is put an army together, and they would go in and invade and break things and kill people and subjugate them. These guys are diabolical because they have come up with a way to get us to voluntarily give up our liberties with the use of fear. And I've had so many environmentalists get in my face and say, it doesn't matter how many rights you think you have if you don't have a planet to stand on. There's the fear. The word sustainable is a trigger word to get you to give up your liberties. And that's what this is about. There is absolutely no danger that man has done. And I have watched these things for 30 years. And what I have seen is that the policies they are putting in place, supposedly to help the environment, are much more dangerous to the environment than anything that we've ever done in the past.
Really, it's about control, is it not, and surrender of sovereignty, whether it be personal liberties or even national sovereignty?
It's absolutely it. If you watch the policies, first of all, why are our borders open like they are? That's part of it. National sovereignty, as an independent nation that stands on its own, is a danger to their plans for global governance. And so opening our borders like that is, you just melt our whole culture away. And you see in the infrastructure bill, and you see in cities all across the country, attacks now on single-family neighborhoods, zoning protection for single-family neighborhoods. They say that that's racist and unfair, and that we could put 100 families in there where you've got 4 people living on a plot of land and so forth. They completely ignore the value of private property. That's the way that individuals have to build wealth in their lives. That's taken away. You become subjugated by the government. And, you take a look at government housing and how horrible it is, and they intend for that to be for all of us, that government will control all the housing.
Well, the extremist left is really raising their voices, and I just saw the Washington Free Beacon indicating that there's a group called Declare Emergency, and they're organizing roadblocks for Washington, D.C. They're going to be holding rallies at national monuments during the week of October 1st, trying to put a strain on the Capitol to push the president to take some kind of executive action. And then there's another, this group alone, this Declare Emergency, believes that there are fewer than 1,000 days left to avert a climate catastrophe. And then there's another group called Now or Never. They're planning to stop the July 28th congressional baseball game to pressure Democratic lawmakers to take action. But these leftist liberal groups are trying to create turmoil, create chaos in order to somehow get the president to declare an emergency.
Shut down all of our industries, shut down your ability to use air conditioning and lights in your home and on and your transportation and everything else. The interesting thing here is all this, because this is net zero of, carbon emissions. And I've jokingly said when I speak that if you have no carbon footprint, you are dead. That's impossible.
Yeah.
But what you're seeing now around the world, other countries, and especially in Europe, England, France, Germany, places like this, where they bought into all this lie years ago and started shutting everything down and relying on only solar and wind power and so forth, they are dying from emergency. They have no the power they need. They are now throwing it all out. The code red is they're throwing all of that out, and they're reopening coal mines and getting, pumping more oil and that sort of thing. And what's really interesting about this is China, where we have totally subjugated ourselves to every one of their whims. They're one of them opening up all these coal mines.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not paying attention to any of this. They're laughing at us that we're doing this silliness. And there's no science behind it whatsoever. I cannot say that strongly enough. And let me just tell you, they're talking here about millions and millions of acres of solar farms and wind farms. And if you have that, look underneath the solar panels, as there are just miles and miles of them in front of you. First of all, they need all kinds of energy to make these. And the same energy they're trying to ban on us. The other thing is, underneath there is a massive infrastructure of wires and so forth, and over the top of that is cement. The most valuable farmland in this country is being cemented over by this.
Mm-hmm.
The wind farms, if they put in the forests of these things that they're talking about doing, nothing will be flying. How does either of these things stand for helping the environment? It is an absolute lie. It is about control and, controlling your energy. This is one of the reasons why they're pushing people off the rural lands into the cities with smart meters and that sort of thing on your power in the cities. They can control your energy use. They can control your transportation. They can control where you go. This is what's behind this. Now, everybody says, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. All right? Prove me wrong. That's exactly what they're doing.
Now, CNSNews.com had this story, Tom, and it caught my attention. Wind turbine collapses, leaking oil everywhere. And this is a wind power turbine. It collapsed in Sweden. And people were warned, keep your distance because it's now leaking oil everywhere. And people said, I thought this was to be green energy. Wind turbines using oil?
They need oil. They need copper, which they don't want to have as mine. So we'll get that from China as well. And on and on and on. They're doing all this. Of course they have oil in them. And of course the blades of the turbines are not degradable. So what do they do with those? And we're finding that a lot of these wind turbines only last for a very few years. And so you put up thousands and thousands of these. Pretty soon you're going to have thousands that need to be replaced. And what do you do with the stuff that you've made it from?
Turbine graveyards. I mean, that's what they're building. Does the president have the authority to usurp congressional action, to declare a climate emergency and take action?
No, but if the Congress is going along with him and wants him to do this, then they just will stand by and let him do it. Yeah, but he doesn't have the legal authority to do it.
Well, last week he did announce various actions that he was taking, like cooling centers and offshore wind projects. You referred to that in the Gulf of Mexico and matters to take action. I know that there are those pressuring him to declare a climate emergency, but any comment on what actions he did take?
Well, you know, they're moving in every direction to more and more wind and solar things that they want to put up all across the country. And
They're actually calling it a transition. I'd like to play an audio clip for you, Tom. This is President Biden's Special Coordinator for International Energy Affairs, Amos Hochstein. And last Tuesday, he made an appearance on CNN. And I'd like you and listeners to hear what he had to say when he refers to this matter of transition. Here is the clip.
So it's about making a choice between what is the short term and the medium term so that we can make sure we have enough oil and gas to support us through the transition. And what are the kind of steps that we don't want the oil and gas industry to take that would have long term consequences when we don't want new major projects that would take 20, 30 years to become profitable. So we have to make that differentiation to make sure that the American consumer has what it needs to grow our economy and the global economy, but not take steps and endanger the climate work that we're trying to do to make sure that we're on a better footing to accelerate the transition.
Wow.
This is the Great Reset being put in place. And what they don't want to have are people rising up because their lifestyle has been destroyed. They can't get to work. They can't drive their car. They can't, you know, heat their home or cool it. All of that. They want to keep you quiet. So we'll keep feeding you enough to keep you shut up. But eventually this reset's going to take place. That's really the lie that's going on.
And that's the same transition that Mr. Biden's been talking about here, too. We've got to get us through this transition. It's going to be painful, but we're going to do it. Now, speaking of pain, here's one other clip. This is Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg touting the benefit of pain at the pump. Here's what he said recently.
Of course, the more pain we are all experiencing from the high price of gas, the more benefit there is for those who can access electric vehicles.
So the more pain we have at the pump, the more benefit there will be to those who have electric vehicles.
Yeah. I got my $80,000 sitting here ready, you know, to get my electric car. Oh, yeah, right. When you start studying the famous electric car, let me just tell you this, Jim. I'm originally from Ohio, and now I live in Virginia. It's 400 miles to my hometown in Ohio. And I've driven it for, all these years back and forth, and I always do have to stop for gas on the way there, probably just about the time I cross the Ohio line, and it takes me 10 minutes, and I'm off and running. The electric cars that go 350 miles, I will get that same spot where I have to buy gas, but now it's going to take me 8 hours to recharge the car. So my trip to visit my family on the weekend now has 16 hours added to it, but there and back. You know, it's a whole day that's taken away from me by this. You know, it's just, this is the absurdity of the whole thing.
And we're going to talk more about electric vehicles right after the break here, because there is more that's been in the news and perhaps not making it across the nation. Maybe in localized regions, but folks, you're going to hear about it here on Crosstalk. Stay with us. Tom DeWeese is with us. His website, AmericanPolicy.org. Have you put in your email address yet? Folks, you can be informed on so many of these issues on a regular basis. So check it out at AmericanPolicy.org. We're back in just 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
Part of the Thief in the Night series, here is a clip from A Distant Thunder.
Your right hand, please. That trick, young woman, is used in here 50 times a day. Now, if you want your child cared for, you must have your ID.
I can't take the mark. My baby is dying.
The Thief in the Night four-part prophecy DVD set is available from VCY America as our way of saying thank you for your donation of $25 or more. The set includes A Thief in the Night, A Distant Thunder, Image of the Beast, and Prodigal Planet. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829, 1-800-729-9829, or order online at vcyamerica.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and Tom DeWeese, our guest here today, president of American Policy Center. And friends, whether you know it or not, there is a lot of pressure that's being applied at the White House right now to declare a so-called climate emergency, a climate emergency push. There are those who are going to stop traffic. There are those who are going to hold rallies and events taking place at monuments in D.C., those who will seek to disrupt some of the tourism aspects that are taking place. There are those legislators like AOC who are pushing the president to pass her Green New Deal along with Bernie Sanders. And it is relentless what is going on. And certainly your voice needs to be heard on these issues. We're talking right now about the electric vehicles. And, Tom, it's hard to fathom the number of stories coming out regularly on all the electric car fires. I mean, just this morning from Western Journal of an electric bus fire, a parking lot of the Connecticut Transit Bus Depot. News accounts have been talking about also spontaneous fires happening in garages where electric vehicles are parked. I mean, these are battery fires, they're saying, are even hard to put out. WND.com reported that electric car fires require 10 times more water to put out, up to 10,000 gallons of water.
Well, that really helps the environment, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially in a time of drought that they're touting as well.
Yeah, and then you have all the incredible stories. Here's California, which is the leading state in putting all of these other, the wind and solar, together, and they're having a massive shortage of electricity there. And so they're already telling people that, well, don't try to recharge your batteries in your car because we have a shortage here. And we get all these other stories about how if everybody in the neighborhood now has an electric car, what it does to the power grid when everybody's trying to charge. And I heard one of these idiots say that, we'll do it at night when everybody's sleeping. Well, okay, so the power grid at night then is depleted.
Yeah. Well, and if you've got those many hours, a lot of people are going to be charging overnight. And I think another thing on these batteries, Tom, and I saw the story in Western Journal a week ago, a 17-year-old student, St. Petersburg, Florida, purchased an electric vehicle. It was a used 2014 Ford Focus Electric from AutoNation Ford, Pinellas County. It had 60,000 miles on it, paid $11,000 for it. Had it for only 6 months, and then this vehicle required service. She took it to AutoNation, the story says, was told that the battery pack was at the end of life, needed to be replaced. The replacement, she paid $11,000 for this vehicle. The replacement was going to be $14,000. And then the dealer said that we can't even get the battery right now, and it's been sitting in their shop for months waiting to get the required battery shipped into them.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you see the photographs of where they mine this lithium for these things, which, by the way, now is almost completely controlled by China. And the holes they dig to do almost looks like the Grand Canyon. And, again, damage the environment. And there's another photograph that I've seen several times that is in France and outside of Paris. The city there had bought up all these electric vehicles to run in the city, and they all ran out, their batteries ran out, and they didn't replace them, and now there's this graveyard outside there of all these cars that, otherwise are in good shape, but they have no batteries. We always hear from the proponents of these things about how much they care about the underprivileged and the poor and so forth. Look at this. How many people who have a gas-powered car that when they finally pass all these things, California is already passing laws. No new filling stations will be built. If the gas pumps break down, they won't be allowed to repair them. So this is all to move everybody to electric cars. What about all of those poor people, people who are underprivileged, people who, you know, on limited incomes and so forth, who can't afford to buy one of these things? And what about they've got a perfectly good car that they've already purchased? They're not allowed to drive anymore. We really care about the compassion about for those people, don't we?
Yeah. You know? I mean, folks, it's horrendous. And And I can't neglect the story, too, of a couple. They bought this $80,000 electric truck. They were towing behind it. They had to stop every 100 miles to recharge. And recharge is not the 10 minutes to fill up the gas tank. And, Tom, the problem was it was a 2,700-mile trip that they were on. But every 100 miles, they had to stop for a lengthy charging to take place.
How many years did it take them to make that trip?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And with that as well, there's pressure, again, going on the Biden administration, even as gas prices have been high. And, yes, it's come down some pennies. But, folks, let's get back to where it was when the president took this took the Oval Office. And they're saying the pressure is on him to stop all new drilling. And the White House is saying, Tom, it's on the table. It's on the table. Despite this lack of oil supply, and yes, it's on the table that we'll stop drilling. And meanwhile, aren't we it's been revealed we've been selling from our emergency reserves to China.
Yeah. Everything goes through China. And, you take a look at how they're operating and what they're doing to their people and what they intend to do to us. And you just don't – this is why we were working so hard to become an independent sovereign nation.
Mm-hmm.
And, the only way you can do that is to have your own supplies for everything, your own food, your own energy, and so forth. Other than that, you are completely dependent on others. And this whole drive for global governance, this is what's behind it. And we're seeing the results of it now. And they are on a drive to get it in place. The real question is what's going to happen in this upcoming election. And there's two things happening with them now, the people promoting these things, the Democrats and the people behind it. One is complete arrogance in that we're in control and we're going to put it all in place. And the other half of that is a panic. We've got to hurry up and do it in case whatever happens in the election. And so you're seeing both, but in each case, it's a relentless drive to, put these things in place as rapidly as they can.
And keep in mind, we've got the World Economic Forum that just declared another international public health emergency. We'll be talking about that, it looks like, on Thursday's program here on Crosstalk. But, Tom, the WEF has also published a paper calling for an end of what they call wasteful private car ownership, that communal sharing of cars is the way forward to lessen the global demands for precious metals and fossil fuels.
Yeah. Now you go back to what I've been talking about for the last 20 years and what they're doing to our cities under smart growth, sustainable development. And the idea is, and they always sold it like, well, you live in one of these smart growth communities that we call stack and pack, the high rises, and you won't need a car anymore. You won't need to drive to work. You can walk to work. You can take your bike to the grocery, whatever the case may be. And if you have to go somewhere else, we'll have public transportation. That is exactly the world that they have now put on steroids to move forward. They are attacking our farmers, people who live in the rural areas who are much more independent than people in the cities. And, they can grow their own food.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're under attack to get rid of them out in the country and, again, our farming supplies and so forth. And everybody moving into the stack-and-pack cities. And now they're openly saying, the cars are going to go.
Friends, our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Time is short, so formulate your question or comment very, very quickly. 800-733-9829. Tom, is this a winnable war?
You know, Jim, I know it sounds hopeless, but it is a winnable war. And I must say that the number one thing that we have to look for is the election. And making sure if we can have a free and fair election, we could wipe these guys out in one day. It's in the wind that people are fed up with this and they want it stopped. And we have got to make sure that we are focusing on the election and that we're, you know, our votes are counting.
Yeah, free and fair. Those are important words. Tom DeWeese, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Again, his website is AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. And not only does he have problems highlighted on his website, but solutions as well. And he has been with us previous on programs and talking about taking action on the very local level, how critical that is. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Taking your calls today, we're going to begin in Gregory, South Dakota. Wayne, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. That's a great show you got today. I just wanted to make a comment or two. One is, if I did live in California, I would be filling my car up with gas while you can still get it and get out, maybe like to South Dakota where I live, where we still have a little bit of sanity left in our government and out here. But yes, this green deal, they think we ought to all have electric cars, which I call coal-powered cars. And if everybody could magically have an electric car, they're worried about rolling blackout. We don't even have enough electricity to power what we run on now.
Yeah, the air conditioners and so forth. Yeah.
Yeah, they're living a total fantasy, but it's not even. It's just a tool to get control of our free economy and our government and everything.
Thank you, Wayne.
There's no reality, no common sense in this. But I just want to call and say thank you for again, informing the American people what we need to know. And hopefully we can, with the help of God and a bunch of concerned patriotic citizens, maybe we can get this turned around. But if not,
Thank you, Wayne.
We are in a better place. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, fear equals control, Tom. And yes, we've all been warned about the rolling blackouts. And how would they anticipate, if we want to get to the zero carbon and make everybody in an electric vehicle, how could they ever charge all these vehicles?
Well, the truth of the matter is, if we got to exactly where they want to go, and everything was wind and solar, and that's all we had to go by, wind and solar would provide about 4% of the energy this nation needs to operate.
Mm, wow. So. Let's go to another South Dakotan, and this is Wayne calling in. Hi, Wayne, you're on the air.
This is Kevin.
Or Kevin, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yep. So, I just want to comment on your program today, Tom, and just a couple comments of, you know, if they're so dedicated to this green movement, then just make it so the solar and wind charges their cars and leave the rest of us alone. But on that pipeline that you're talking about and reading on that, aren't they crossing all these states and going to pump this carbon, as they're claiming, to North Dakota and going to pump it down into the wells and up there? Isn't that kind of the plan with that, Tom?
Yeah, there's basically two pipelines. One is going to dump it in North Dakota. The other one's going to dump it in Illinois and put it down there. And the interesting thing, I hadn't mentioned this yet, that we found out that there is such a pipeline across Mississippi, and it ruptured in a small town there of just a couple of thousand people. And when it did, this green cloud came up, and people couldn't breathe. Their oxygen was gone. Cars shut off because they need oxygen. And it had this putrid smell, and people got really foggy. They would collapse, and here months later, they're still some of them complaining about foggy brains and so forth from the results of this. And you think about when we've had oil spills. I would like to take you on a tour of where we had oil spills, and you can tell me where they were. They were cleaned up. The animals were cleaned. I mean, of course, some died and so forth from it.
Sure.
But it wasn't an attack on a health issue to people. And this is, and they don't even know how to deal with it. And the first responders didn't know what to do.
Right.
And, you know, all of this. This is what we're looking at.
Last comment I would like to make here also is, I forgot, I guess so. No, Tom, I just appreciate your comment. Oh, I know what I was going to say. You really think we're going to have an election? I mean, it's a little bit off the subject, but you talked about election. You really think that they can allow an election to happen when we see the numbers? Even the Democrats are banning their party?
Hey, thank you for that question. We're up against a break. We'll have a brief comment afterwards. Thanks for the call here, Kevin. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. There are three steps the communists are using to carry out their ongoing revolution in America. Now, let me make this very clear. There are many plans and many processes, but there are specifically three steps I want to concentrate on today that the communists are using to carry out their revolution in America. Number one, formal communist education. Most of our schools, elementary schools, as well as high schools and colleges, are giving young people, now for decades, a heavy dose of communism under such names as common good or social justice. Number one, formal communist education. Number two, self-criticism and criticism of America. America now has been declared a racist nation, an evil nation. We're called to criticize ourselves as Christians and conservatives. And then number three, the censorship of reality and truth. These are the steps for a communist revolution.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Tom DeWeese is with us here today from American Policy Center. Folks, his website, AmericanPolicy.org. So, Tom, the caller said, hey, what about elections? Some have a fatalist attitude pertaining to this, saying, you know, what good does it even make for me to go out and vote here in the elections?
Jim, I am adamant about this. We cannot take that attitude, because if you do, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. We have got to make sure that we are watching, we're involved. Don't we wish we cared who was on the local board of elections the last time around? We need to look at this. We need to. There are groups that are coming together to be poll watchers and watching what's happening. There are some legal actions that are being taken. And, you know, I one thing I know, these guys cannot stand the spotlight on them. And in 2020, they didn't have a spotlight on them, and they did whatever they wanted. Now we've had, the 2000 Mules film. We've had some other films come out. We've got groups really looking at these things. Every one of those creates a spotlight on what's going on there. That will make them back off in certain cases. I'm not saying they're not going to try and probably will succeed in some ways, but I think we can back them up enough that maybe, just maybe, we can grab control, but not if you stay home.
And friends, do you see what the impact of a George Soros did with the DAs and the lack of sentencing and signature bonds and so on and so forth? But there's also those that are working on the same thing to take control of the county clerks and those who do the counting and the administration of elections. Keep in mind how critical it is for you to be informed and to cast a prayerful vote on the election day. We've got Jim calling from Wisconsin. Jim, you're on the air.
Yes, with this environmentalism, I saw this coming a long time ago when the Berlin Wall came down and they said communism is dead. Gorbachev stepped down from power, but where did he go? He came to America, and he started Green Cross, an environmentalist group. And that, so I saw this coming a long time ago, but communism came here. So I was wondering, do you know if Green Cross is still in operation, what Gorbachev is up to?
Thank you. Tom?
To my knowledge, yes, it is. And he's still there doing what he's doing. He speaks at these international meetings and so forth all the time. And, you're absolutely right. This is what they brought to us. What the communists figured out was instead of having the all the weapons aimed at each other and the threat of war going on, how do we get this done peacefully? And they came up with the idea of environmental stuff, the danger of the environment. And that's what everybody bought, and that's exactly what happened.
Jim, thanks for the call. We're moving to Tony in Charleston, Illinois. You're on the air, Tony.
Hey, brothers, I just wanted to say this, that you've all heard the old saying that bad things happen when good people don't do anything.
Yeah.
What we need to do, rather than electronic vote and mail-in vote and all that stuff there, go personally to those polls and vote. It makes it that much harder because they have to count those better. Hmm. And I really believe that they cannot steal. They're going to try to steal this next election because they've got their foot in the door.
They have to.
And they're... Yeah. And yes, and they're wanting to push this because, like you said, America is no good, Christians are no good, and the evil one knows that his days are getting shorter by the by the day, and he has to put his agenda into focus, and biblical prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you very much, and keep it up. A good work, brothers.
Thanks for the
I'll
call.
I'll see you in heaven. Bye.
Thanks for the call. Mark in Olney, Illinois, you're on the air.
Yes, I just want to comment on the CO2 collection. About 7-8 years ago, I can't remember the group's name now, but they came through Illinois, and they went to at least 4 counties trying to get all the CO2 from our 4 area power plants. And each county, they kept getting defeated. And the only reason they got defeated, like when it came to my county, I went to the town hall meeting, and it got turned down. But I was shocked to see if they got 51% of the landowners to go for it, that it was a done deal and we couldn't stop them. But the other comment I'd like to make, I mean, I listen to this show and I approve or I appreciate and believe everything you say, but there's only one reason that America's experiencing all this problem. It's not crooked politics, crooked politicians. It's a sleeping church. Nobody to blame but the church. And thank you for what you're trying to do.
Thank you, Mark, for the call here. And, Tom, that's something you've warned about, even on as far as the land aspect. They can make the price so rich and so attractive, so luring, that people will say, I can't refuse that for my land. And hence we get to the 51%.
Yeah, and I would question whether they actually had 51%. They keep saying things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying that while I was traveling through Iowa, that they had 48%, I think, was the number they were using then. And it's absolutely not true. They're nowhere anywhere near that. And but they'll say that so that people go, well, I guess there's nothing we can do, so we'll just, why don't we get in on it and get some of the money for us, too, because
yeah,
it's going to
yeah.
happen anyway.
Show me the listing of the 48%.
Exactly.
Let's go to Justin, our final call, Middleton, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Justin.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. Just real quickly, I just wanted to say, you guys were talking about the electric vehicles and how it takes 8 hours to charge them, and that's if you have the correct charging device, because if you don't have the correct charging device, they say if you plug into just a regular outlet, it takes, I don't know, 15, 20 hours. So just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, yeah,
good
thank
point.
You.
Yep.
Thank you for raising that issue here. And there's so much more even beyond that. And we've seen the videos that have gone viral of those who have taken a half hour just to even get that pump to accept a credit card or build an account for it. I mean, it's just rather amazing. Tom, we've got just a minute left. What would you like to leave with the listeners today?
Well, we absolutely have to get involved. We cannot say it's all over, it's done. It's not. And I've been doing this for these many years. I am more energized than I've ever been because I see many, many more people rising up to stand up and fight. They are getting it now. And I'm excited by that. And we're trying to help people organize and what to do. If you go to my website, to our activist handbook, this has a lot of the details in there about how to organize. It's what I call building a freedom pod out of your community. And it's at AmericanPolicy.org. Look for that handbook, and we'll help any way we can.
And being vigilant is really imperative.
Absolutely, you must. And we got to care who is on the board of elections. You got to care who the county attorneys are. Who these kind of things. The other side always has, and we haven't. And now what we ended up with was more government because of it. So we've got to stand up to it. And and they're afraid of the spotlight, so get a very bright one. Show who they really are.
Tom DeWeese with us today. Again, the website, ladies and gentlemen, AmericanPolicy.org. That's AmericanPolicy.org. You'll see a Stay Informed box there at the top of the page. You put in your email address, and you'll get his news releases as they come out. Tom, thank you for your diligent hard work, your faithfulness, and really blowing the whistle on so many of these things happening, and certainly giving hope at the light of at the end of the tunnel here, too.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. You have the best audience in the world.
And Tom DeWeese with us today, folks. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.